This is an IELTS Energy Podcast, episode 438, Powerful Political IELTS Vocabulary for an 8 and Higher.
You are listening to the IELTS Energy Podcast from All Ears English. We believe in connection, not perfection, and we're here to show you how to get the score that you need on your next IELTS exam. Find out why our strategies are the most powerful in the IELTS world and get your free video masterclass at allearsenglish.com/INSIDER. Now, let's get to the show. Today, you'll learn 5 words and phrases to definitely raise your vocabulary score in writing task 2 and speaking part 3 when talking about politics and government.
Hey, Lindsay, what's going on in Boston, Massachusetts?
Out here in Boston, Massachusetts, things are good. Let's see what's going on. Well, I'm getting ready to go down to the beach this weekend, which should be fun. Get some salt air in my hair, all that good stuff.
Awesome. I haven't got to the beach yet, but that's okay because James and I are going for a whole week in a little beach town in California with our family. So we'll fit in all the beach time in 1 week.
Gonna be so good. I love the. So you're going to California. Are you driving the Pacific Coast Highway?
No, we're going down the middle because it's a long trip and he's 6. Yeah. So we're going to go down the middle of California, which I think we still get to go through the Redwood Forest, which, I can explore with James. We're staying in like a small town sort of in the middle of nowhere, which is also fun. I just like exploring new places with him.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, yeah. And the cool. And plus, like, that coastal highway is so curvy and it's kind of dangerous.
It's totally dangerous.
That kind of worries me.
Yeah, you got a lot of trucks coming up it and winding around and logging trucks and things. That's true.
Yeah. Yep. It's nuts. I even rode with a friend. We rode bicycles in our like early 20s from San Francisco up to Oregon on that highway. And I wouldn't do that now. I could only make a decision, like a dumb decision like that in my 20s, because there was no room for us on that road. It was scary.
I don't know how you did that. Wow.
Crazy. Okay, so we had a question from a student in our Facebook group, guys, in our course, and he was asking about vocabulary to describe politics. And at first, I wasn't sure how to answer this because politics doesn't necessarily come up explicitly on the exam. I mean, like topics like religion and politics, they're not going to ask you about specifically because these topics are so contentious that's not necessarily how we want to have a conversation with you on the exam. But nonetheless, I mean, especially these days, right? Politics are intertwined with so much else. Healthcare, education, immigration, right? Like politics is everywhere these days. So I think it is important, nevertheless, to get some high-level words or phrases here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, impress the examiner. Again, we talk about vocabulary and for writing and speaking, and it's about setting yourself apart from the others.
Yes. And these phrases, these words and phrases today, guys, are so high level. I mean, these aren't just 7. These are like 8 plus words. Like these, amazing. Of course, we were inspired in making this list through reading the New York Times. So they're high level.
Exactly. And that most other IELTS candidates are not doing that, guys. They're looking at word lists from IELTS textbooks, probably, right? So these definitely will set you apart and make you appear to be a different student, a different level student.
Yeah. Oh, completely. Completely. Okay. So this first phrase is it's a longer phrase, but it just really struck me. It really impressed me as soon as I saw it. A person, right? A politician cast himself or herself as a something. So in this case, the politician cast himself as a defender of values, which means this person is trying to present this image of what they want you to think they are, right? So this person, just Trump, it was Trump, but Trump wants you to think he's defending values, like that's his image. So I really like this as a phrase, like what does this person think of himself? What does he want you to think of him? So that's a really good
phrase. What's the image that he's... I love that. If we want to remember what that means, thinking about like a cast in a play, you know what I mean? The cast is the group of people who are, you know, what are you casting as? You know what I mean? What are you going to be?
Totally.
Who are you going to be? What image are you portraying? Yeah.
I did not make that connection right away. That's perfect. That makes it way easier to remember. Okay, awesome. And then Lindsay, what's the next word? This is an awesome word.
Well, I like this because we can talk about this in different forms. So the first one is clash, like to clash, right? So to have an extreme kind of disagreement or to rub up against someone else in the wrong way, right? You have a disagreement. You don't work together. You have a fight. And then we have the phrase clash of civilizations, right? You like that one, That's Jessica? Great.
So so the first as the verb, right, to clash. And guys, just to remind you, all of these words, this is for speaking part 3 and writing task 2, okay? These are all formal academic words. So clash as a verb and then clash as a noun, same thing, like an argument, an extreme fight, right? A clash of civilizations. It just means like whole entire groups of people that just completely do not agree with each other. Just they met and there were fireworks because it was so bad.
This can be applied to a bunch of things. Like you could say a clash of values, right? We have a clash of values. Our values don't agree, or clash of cultures, even when cultures come against each other. Right?
Yeah. This is a very versatile word, guys. Like, I think, this is political vocabulary, but these words, they're not specifically for politics, right? Like, these high-level words and phrases could be used in so many aspects. So the next one I also really like, rebuke. So rebuke is a verb, and it means to scold, right? So the example we took it from, Trump rebukes the media. So we can understand it from that sentence, right? Because he's always saying, nope, you're lying, you're wrong. So he's scolding them. Yeah. So you could use this to describe parents or teachers scolding children, telling them where they're right or wrong. Because questions like that come up a lot in speaking part 3.
That's a big one. That's in the media a lot. I mean, that's happening a lot with Trump and the way he talks to the media. It's incredible. We don't need to get into politics now, but just, I don't know.
Oh my God.
It's insane.
It's shocking. And the media is fighting back, man. It's kind of crazy. Yeah. It's like, just a clash of organizations we've never seen before. Now we're going to do a positive word. Hospitable. What does that mean?
Oh, hospitable means to kind of be kind of making someone comfortable, I would say. You know, so if you are a hospitable host, like you can, or your place is hospitable, it's comfortable for people to stay there, or you make people feel welcome or comfortable.
Hello, wonderful IELTS Energy listeners. If you would like to learn the strategies and skills to get an 8 on your next speaking exam, just like Katarina from Chile, who just got that amazing score, check out the 3 Keys IELTS Success System. Go to allearsenglish.com/KEYS. Yeah, making people feel welcome. So, what does this have to do with politics? Well, if your leader, like Trump, is traveling abroad right now, as we're recording this. So if you're talking about, people visiting your country, politicians or organizations visiting your country, or your leaders traveling abroad, like what is the host nation doing to make this person feel hospitable, right? Or to be hospitable towards this person, I should say. So exactly. Making someone feel welcome and comfortable. And then this last word I really love, and this is applicable in a wide variety of situations and answers, the noun rhetoric. So I actually had an English class in high school that was called rhetoric. Did you have that in high school?
I didn't have that class. That sounds interesting. What did you learn?
It was all about just like vocabulary and creative ways to describe things.
Cool.
So that's what rhetoric means, guys.
Oh,
it's
that's
just
cool.
It's the language. Yeah. Oh man, that was my favorite class. It just means the language we use to talk. So it could be good or bad, right? So I think we often in talking about politics, we often use it in a negative sense, right? So it's like politicians are really good at talking around things. Like not directly answering things, but talking in ways that only get out messages that they want. So the rhetoric, and I like the verb spouted, the rhetoric spouted by so-and-so seemed to suggest something. Or
yeah.
The rhetoric, let's see, how else could we use that? Well, it could be a positive way. Like there was, the speech was full of positive rhetoric towards the host country, for example.
I like that. So a way of communicating an idea or your point of view or just generally communication.
Yeah, just language, words. I think the definition can be quite simple, but the way we use it is really like high level.
Love that. So good. And so again, where will these words come up on the test, Jessica? Where can our listeners use them?
So in writing task two, I could imagine you being able to use this in talking about like problem solution essays. Also any like argument or opinion essays having to do with laws or government in any way, because, you know, that can be connected to, like I said, healthcare, education, language learning, parenting. Like there's so many ways we could apply this. And also all of those same topics would come up in speaking part three. In speaking part two, sometimes you're asked to describe a law, a politician, someone in the news. So any of those, these words would apply as well.
Yeah. And just keep in mind, guys, where we found these words is in the New York Times. And so you want to be reading papers as much as you can, exposing yourself to that culture of thinking, you know, seeing these words on a regular basis. That should be part of your preparation.
Yeah, exactly. I can't tell you how many students that I've worked with who are improving their scores and their vocabulary by reading the New York Times and then applying these things they've learned, the structures, the vocab, applying these things within the IELTS confines, right? Like applying them in ways that strategically raise their score. So reading the paper, that's a great place to start. You need this culture of thinking. You need to prepare in this way, but you also need to balance that with test strategies, guys. So just keep in mind, you do need to apply these in the right ways.
Yeah, absolutely. So important to keep in mind. Love it. So good. Any final thoughts, Jessica, before we close up today?
Definitely practice using these words, guys, to describe your own views on your government and even our government. I'm sure you have opinions on our government. That's great. But use these words today to practice expressing your views so it's not a difficult or impossible thing on test day.
Right. You can't have the first time that you're actually using them be on that test day in the speaking test, right, Jessica, or on the writing test. It can't be the first time.
That won't happen, guys. That's impossible. You're not going to be able to use them if you don't practice them. So yeah, that's the next step, is to practice them in your own answers.
All right. Awesome. And in our course, we do give our listeners a list of vocabulary words, a very short list of vocabulary words that will bump up your score really quickly, guys. Right, Jessica, in our bonus section?
Yep. Yeah, cool. So this is a list of 10 words that are not topic specific. Therefore, you can apply them to any topic. So these 10 words can be used to raise your vocabulary score for any topic in both writing task two and speaking part three.
So good. So good. All right. So we're out of here for today. Guys, if you want to get into the course, go to allearsenglish.com/KEYS. And Jessica, I'll see you back on here very soon.
All right, sounds good. Enjoy the rest of your day.
All right, you too. Take care.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to the IELTS Energy Podcast from All Ears English. And if you want to get tips from Lindsay and Jessica every week on how to get a 7 on your next IELTS exam, be sure to subscribe to our podcast on your computer or on your smartphone. Thanks again, and see you soon.